Good morning. From the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, welcome to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Better Lawns and Gardens. We have a gardening show. We're going to answer your gardening questions. Good morning, Lizzie.
Good morning. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
Yes, definitely. Can't complain. The best thing we did is we actually celebrated ours the Saturday prior to Thanksgiving, which we've gotten into the habit of doing it either the weekend before, the weekend after. It's a lot less stress, a lot less people rushed. You don't have to go from house to house to house and then be hungry
right.
and be full the whole time. And it's amazing. We played board games and, you know, just did our normal family stuff. So it was very nice.
Wonderful.
How about you guys?
Great. We had a great Thanksgiving. Of course, all our children are in various different industries. You know, I have two sons in the restaurant business, so they're busy on Thanksgiving. Teresa's a nurse over in Daytona Beach. And so she always covers for the hospital. And then Genevieve was in Texas. So we had a nice, quiet small turkey, delicious turkey.
Yes.
It was great. And so we got to watch the parades and talk to the grandkids. It was wonderful.
Yes. Actually, on Thanksgiving Day, it's the day before Shrek's birthday. So since we already did it, we ended up going to Disney Springs. We got a reservation at one of the restaurants there. And it was nice. Now, it started getting crowded, but we set our reservation for like 11 a.m.
Yeah,
In and out. And boy, we saw the crowds rolling in. And we were throwing up that peace sign. And we're like, our bellies are full going home.
We left you some. Well, that is great. Well, Lizzie, our prayers are being answered this weekend. We are getting some rain. We got rain last night in Orlando. I know at our house, it wasn't a lot, but it's enough to make the sidewalk wet and leave puddles.
Aww.
So that was good. We're going to get more rain later on today. North Florida is getting rain. South Florida, not so much. We are going to be seriously in a drought situation, continuing this drought situation, so that's not good. But this is bringing in a cold front, which is going to drop the temperatures at night into the 50s, which is good. No freezing. But again, we just know in Florida, when we get a cold front coming through, we get that rain possibility. Pensacola, rain, don't go away. 50s and 60s for highs. Chance of 40s and 30s in the lower pockets on Monday. But no freeze. Okay, so this is a great week for Christmas shopping. It'll put everybody in the mood. Gainesville is going to be lows in the 60s, nighttime 40s. They're going to get rain this weekend. I mentioned Orlando, highs 60s and 50s next week. So that's really nice. And rain Sunday and hopefully Monday too. Tampa, raining all weekend through Monday. Daytime temps in the 60s. Now, it's not going to last a long time. It's not going to be solid rain, but everybody should in Tampa get a little bit of rain. Port St. Lucie, you've got possible rain on Monday. Highs in the 70s and 60s, 50s at night. Wonderful sweater weather for Port St. Lucie, perfect for shopping. Venice, poor Mike down there. 40 to 50% chance of rain on Sunday and Monday. I hope he gets it. 70s during the day. No rain after Monday. So it's going to be a dry week, the rest of it. South Florida's Miami's beautiful. So we are really very lucky. Key West is going to be beautiful, but the drought is going to continue. And when I say drought, December is usually very dry. Now, why do I mention weather when we're talking about gardening? It's because we need to know how much to water irrigation systems. We don't want to waste it, but we don't want to overuse it either. And water is at the base of all problems in a garden, in your landscape. It is either too much or not enough. And you need to know your site conditions, plants, shrubs, and trees that are used to the conditions of your soil so that you don't have to overwater. So it's very, very important. Winter is coming up. December 21st is, our winter equinox. We usually see the first frost on the 18th. Yeah, 2025, we've already had it in November. We're overachievers. We broke century-old records all the way down to Miami in November. And so what can you be planting this time of the year? Lots of great flowers. This is the time to be planting rye seed if you want to have grass to mow during the winter, what is wrong with you? But that's neither here nor there. Alyssum, Baby's Breath, Bacopa, Begonia, Bush Daisies, Calendula, California Poppies, Candy Tuff, and Chrysanthemums, Delphiniums, and Dianthus, Foxglove, and Geraniums. Lots of geraniums out there. Iceland Poppies, Licorice Plants, Lobelia, Calibricoas, which are called Million Bells. This is the time to put out ornamental cabbage and kale, pansies and petunias, of course, salvias. You can plant most of the year. Shasta daisies and snapdragons, status and stock, sweet pea, and verbena and viola. We have a lot of beautiful flowers that we can be planting this time of the year in Florida. So this is a great time. The weather is not the 80s. We're not going to see 80s anymore. Maybe a couple of days in Central Florida, but should be more 70s, and then 50s at night. We have today is St. Nicholas Day, December 6th. So it's a great day to talk about Christmas gifts. So 'tis the season for fruit tree plantings, and everyone needs a pear tree for their partridges and peach trees and avocados. So Dana Venrick, owner of Quality Green Specialist, he's going to be coming up next. He specializes in native and fruit trees. Great place to get them. He'll be on to tell us what gift would be perfect for your favorite gardener. So from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios, if it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network. Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. This is the time of the year that Florida is blessed to have such great weather that we can have a lot of great gardening gifts that are alive and will grow in our landscapes. We'd like to have us join Dana Venrick. Good morning, Dana. How are you?
Oh, good morning, Teresa. How are you?
I am great. It's St. Nicholas Day, Dana, so that means we're going to talk about Christmas gifts. And what
very
is going
good,
on?
Very good. Christmas is coming soon, we're still trying to recover from eating too much turkey on Thanksgiving.
Now, do you eat turkey at Christmas time?
Well, usually we eat turkey at Christmas also, but some people like the ham.
We do. We alternate too as well. And so, is Quality Green Specialist Nursery? I know Santa was flying overhead, just chopping, checking things out, and he said that your nursery is decked out all for Christmas.
It is. It is colorful as ever before. It's got lots of red poinsettias, pink pentas, all the colors of the rainbow, including yellow and orange, and it's really looking terrific. With a great selection of vegetables and herbs. In fact, we just made a brand new herb garden with a beautiful double circular path going around a table and two tables of herbs. So we have a great selection of both vegetables and herbs now. And the vegetables are looking terrific in our raised bed. You know, we actually make and sell our very own potting soil that's really hard to beat. You should see the beautiful raised bed garden.
I'm going to stop by. And so you have a lot of great plants that people can give as Christmas gifts, but you also have gift certificates. And what could they use the gift certificates for?
Say that one more time.
I said, what can they use your gift certificates for to purchase?
Oh my gosh, they could use it to give to mother, father, son or daughter, relatives. It's just such a great gift because they can use it anytime for any type of plant and wait until the spring for things that are more cold tender like mangoes.
Mm-hmm. But right now is a good time to be planting what fruit trees? What kind of fruit trees?
Right now is a great time to plant deciduous, cold hardy trees and things that have a lot of cold resistance, like fantastic avocados, and there's many others that are very cold hardy, but perfect time for citrus as well, for the cold hardy types of citrus and peaches, nectarines, all the stone fruits, persimmons, and mulberries. We have all those. They are great. They're cold hardy. They lose their leaves. The sap is going down to the roots, so they really take off and grow a great root system and come out even better in the spring.
Mulberries are great for wildlife, too. So if anyone wants to
Absolutely.
Do a native
They're great for
wildlife.
Making pie, too. My mother used to make the best mulberry pie.
Oh,
wow,
I'd never thought of that. That would be good. So how easy, you mentioned peaches. How easy are peaches to grow?
Peaches are pretty easy if you use like our volcanic pomace and good high potassium fertilizer. You know, potassium, as far as all the minerals, is the most protective of disease. It prevents disease better than any other mineral, even better than manganese and all the other minerals and trace minerals that impart not only just disease protection, but cold hardiness. We've proven that with all the trace minerals and the right amount and the right mineral like potassium and magnesium, you can impart quite a bit more cold hardiness, maybe 10 degrees or more cold resistance for plants.
And they could even take their gift certificate and use it to get a soil test to see what minerals they need for their yard.
That's
and you can
our
make
potting
a
soil is so good. We test each batch and fine tune it to make sure we're having the optimum level of porosity and drainage and all the right amounts and ratios, everything in sufficient amounts in that soil. So people have great results. People come in and say, your potting soil is amazing. It's magical.
Oh, and so peaches and avocados. Do avocados need chilling hours or is it just peaches?
It's just peaches that need the chilling hours. The avocados don't. However, the avocados are a little tricky because you have type A and type B that hopefully in Florida you don't need to worry too much about that because of our high humidity keeps the pollen and the ovary receptive for a long time because of the high humidity. In drier climates like California and Mexico, you have to make sure you have type A and B because the pollen gets ripe at a different time that the ovary is receptive, like at least 24-hour difference.
Now, aren't avocados wind-pollinated? And so when the flowers open, certain parts of the tree, when you get that breeze coming through, it pollinates itself. You don't need to have a separate male and female or type A and type B.
Not in Florida, no. And bees love those blooms, too, and make some of the best honey from the pollen. And the nectar of the avocado, and so that's the prized honey, the avocado honey.
So what kind of site conditions do you need for avocados and peaches?
Well, you need to have a condition where the soil has been improved with minerals because they're heavy feeders, and they like a lot of the alkaline minerals like potassium, magnesium, of course, NPK, like the nitrogen and phosphorus. Make sure you put phosphorus this spring early because that's the only time of year you have a really high demand for phosphorus. We recommend for fruiting trees that need a lot more phosphorus for that initial bloom and fruit in the spring, put a little bone meal or super phosphate along with your fertilizer. You'll have far better results.
Okay.
Even trees that sometimes have difficulty blooming and fruiting, and you say, what's going on? You put a little bone meal early, like January, February, early in the year, you'll be amazed how much better they will bloom and fruit and hold the fruit. And put a little boron twice. That boron prevents too much fruit drop, too.
But that will help in that.
A very light amount, just twice a year.
So when you say a very light amount, what would that be, a cup of it or a tablespoons? What would a very light amount?
The fertilizer, but the boron, like borax, is exactly what growers use. It would be a pinch in comparison, just a pinch of it around the 3-gallon planted tree. You don't want to put too much because excessive boron is dangerous. You know what the symptom of excessive boron is?
No.
It's all the leaves turning white because plants cannot make chlorophyll if they're lacking, if they have too much boron. That's the symptom of toxicity, just pure white leaves.
Wow. So you really need to just follow the label and not put too exactly. much of any kind of fertilizer or any kind of minerals down. Just the right amount. And it will have it on there. And you also provide instructions when they
That's
purchase it from...
You know, most people tend to over-fertilize. You know, I tell people, even with fertilizer, it would be great if you just put like a lightly salted application right now with all the minerals and a good bioavailable low salt index fertilizer. But problem is, if it's too much, you'll force too much growth and then make them more susceptible. But very light application, especially now before the winter comes.
Right. And so we're having a La Nina winter, and we're pretty much going to be warm throughout winter time. We're going to have a couple of, you know, freeze chances, opportunities, but we're going to have most of the plants growing through the winter season this year, right?
Absolutely. So it'll be warmer than normal, but all it takes is everything to set up properly or improperly, as the case may be. That Polar Express would come through. Mm-hmm. And if everything is flush and growing rapidly, then they're set up for a freeze. So anything you do, make sure you don't let the plants get too dry or stay too wet or waterlogged. And if you see, check your moisture for a couple of days or so before the chance of a hard freeze. You know, make sure that they're not super dry. That could really be a disaster.
Yeah, that would be. And so gift certificates, getting a gift from Quality Green Specialists, they can come by and pick it up and you can load it. Can you... what else can they get a gift certificate for?
Well, they could get a gift certificate for all our great minerals, our great fertilizer. We make three separate fertilizers. We have the best potting soil and compost, organic. And they can really choose from a great selection of products to grow and control diseases with, you know, safe materials like Dipel, and horticultural oil. We specialize in those products that are very easy on the environment. I'm very, very blessed to have the knowledge to do that, to have materials that work that aren't really harmful to the environment and to people and the pets.
That's very important. And what I like about it is people really should not listen to their neighbors when it comes
That's
to
right.
gardening, but they
study,
should
study.
They should come in and just bring in their soil samples to you. You can, create a fertilizer just for their soil conditions, and that's important.
Custom blend, exactly how much for their given area, exactly how many pounds or ounces of each. In the case of manganese and the trace minerals, particularly boron, zinc, and copper, that would be might be ounces, where it could be pounds, you know, for potassium and nitrogen.
Wow.
But it all depends, like you said before, everything in the right amount, and that way you're following Mother Nature, you know, in the need for each of the elements in their own order.
So what is your address so people can come by and pick up the poinsettias and herbs for their gardens, and then select a lovely tree?
Absolutely.
And so what is your address?
See our raised bed, see our orchid trail, the native orchid trail. Our address is 335 West Michigan Avenue in DeLand, very near downtown. Enjoy downtown DeLand while you're here. They have some great places, antique shops, restaurants. It's a beautiful downtown, too.
It is a lovely, lovely way to spend a Saturday afternoon. So, Dana, what is your website real quick?
The nursery in the town.
What is your website real quick?
QualityGreenSpecialist.com.
There you go, Dana. Thank you. Take care. We're going to be back with more of Better Lawns and Gardens and your gardening questions. Welcome back to the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. We got it in there. I flubbed up the ending the change there just a bit. So, but I had another sip of tea and I'm ready to go again. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. We're taking your gardening questions. And I had one from Mark in Orlando. He is a UPS driver. He drives at night this time of the year. They have long hours in Christmas time. And he drives around the UCF area. And he says that he smells a sweet smell that he only smells at nighttime. And he asked if that was a nighttime jasmine. If not, what it could be. So, you know, we need to help this guy out. And if you have a plant that is fragrant at night that Mark might be smelling, will you text 23680 and let us know what you think it is? And I have a couple of options, you know, some selections, and you know, we'll see if we can help Mark find out what he is smelling as he drives around the Central Florida area there.
At least it's sweet. I'm just it's saying sweet. Because where I'm at in Sereno, we have that whole situation of stinky smell. So yeah, so at least it's sweet, so be very thankful of that.
That is so true. And so Bill in Norman Beach says, do you have any idea of what can be planted in wet and shady areas this time of the year? And he wants it to be an annual. That's a really good question, Bill. And we don't have too many annuals that are colorful that could be planted in wet and shady areas. We do have lobelia, which can take a little bit of wet moisture. Terrenias in the spring and summertime. But, you know, you can also think about impatiens and begonias, caladiums and coleuses, and polka dot plants. Polka dot plants you can get at the box stores, and they are pink and green. And then they also come in white and green. They're very pretty. You can put those in the ground. They're usually sold in the indoor house section, the indoor plant section. But you can plant them in the ground. They do very well. And that would give you some color. And then aluminum plants, too, as well. And aluminum plants have a great texture, but they only get to be about 3 inches to 4 inches tall. And you can also find those in the indoor plant sections. But Bill decided on, he thinks he's going to go with snapdragons, the yellow rocket variety. And that's a good choice, too. You know, snapdragons can take full sun and a little bit of partial shade. So that is a great idea. So let us know what you select, Bill, and we'll look forward to that. Also, too, Art and Bloom Garden Tours. We have the whole selection for next year. We're going to wonderful places. We're going to the Philadelphia Flower Show, the Chelsea Flower Show in London, and the Best of English Gardens. Then also the Newport Flower Show. And these are all great places to visit for their beautiful gardens. And not only the flower show, but we visit other beautiful gardens. And then Buffalo. The Buffalo Garden Walk Tour along with Niagara Falls in Canada. And then we are going to France, some beautiful, beautiful gardens in France and the big chateaus, plus all of the main garden areas that are, you know, tourists. We love to go to Versailles and see the beautiful formal gardens there. And then we're going to the Brandywine Valley in September. So check it out, artbloomgardentours.com, and it makes a great Christmas gift. Oh, and we just have so much fun when we go.
And if you go on the website and you see that it is full, still go ahead and register, right?
Right. Go ahead and, you know, register, sign up, and let us know you're interested. Yes. And we still have plenty of room, especially for Christmas gifts. And then also, too, if you refer someone, we're giving a special $200 discount. So.
Oh. There you go.
So there's lots of good things happening there. So we're looking forward to traveling with everyone next year. Let's go to Colette in Winter Garden. Good morning, Colette. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. Yeah, I'm actually in Winter Haven.
Oh, Winter Haven. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a lemon tree, a dwarf Meyer lemon in a pot.
Okay.
That I gave my son-in-law last year for Christmas, and I knew they were going to be moving, so we just left it, and I put it in a bigger pot.
Sure.
And set it in a place in the yard, And I went to move it yesterday, and the roots have gone through the bottom, the holes in the bottom of the pot into the ground.
Okay.
Well, they are moving this weekend, and so I'm wondering, can I just go ahead and pick it up and rip the roots? Is it going to be
sure.
okay?
Sure. I wouldn't necessarily rip the roots, but what I would do is cut them, but water it really well first, okay, because it's going to go into a little bit of a shock. But water it really well, and it should be just fine. That's good news that it's growing, and it likes where it is. So I would try and find a similar place at their house, their new location, and they'll be just fine. So good job. It seems like it's very happy.
Yeah, they're going to have a screened-in pool area, and I was thinking it might make, since it is a dwarf and can stay in the pot, would it be okay in a screened-in area like that?
I don't know if it's going to get enough sunlight. So when we screened...
I think they face east, maybe.
Okay. Screened-in pool areas have two problems. One is it adequate enough light? Because citruses need at least, 8 hours of sunlight. Okay?
And,
okay. Okay, but then they also... good air circulation. So if they have fans in their pool area, they want to have those turned on. Okay, so just be very aware of the air circulation and, make sure it's getting enough light and it should be okay.
Okay, all right, great. Well, we're moving tomorrow, or today, actually.
Well, good for you. I hope that'll be great and get it done before the rain comes this weekend. But water that citrus really well before you cut it.
And we shouldn't fertilize it until
January, the end of January, first part of February to fertilize it.
Okay.
Okay? You don't need to do it right now. All right, hon. Thank you for listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. 1-888-455-2967. Or you can text 23680 and let us know what Mark could be smelling at night, what fragrant flower in the UCF area. And then also to... drinking this morning. We always
I was going to say probably orange blossoms because it's around this time of year. However, does Florida even have orange trees?
Yes, they do. But, orange trees bloom in the springtime. We're harvesting fruit right now.
Okay.
So there's not too much, citrus smells going on right now.
Got you.
But it could be night blooming jasmine. There's a couple of other ones. I'll just wait and see. We got some text messages here. Yes, it's night blooming jasmine. He smells at my house in Polk County. So Mark was very accurate. Night blooming jasmine. Now here's the problem with night blooming jasmine. Because it blooms at night and people put it near their patios so you can smell the fragrance, they tend to get eaten by moths. So I always put it to where you don't see it and let the moths eat it and then, enjoy the fragrance. It will smell the whole street up. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Welcome back to Better Lawns and Gardens. And now, Teresa's top five.
So my top five this week are citrus fruit trees to grow in Florida that are resistant to citrus greening. One, citrus. The sugar bell as a mandarin hybrid, sugar bell, resembles the Mineola Tangelo with its iconic bell shape. The variety is low seed to seedless, easy to peel, very juicy, and has a rich red color. So that's one. Gator Bites is a new mandarin variety developed by the University of Florida, known for its sweet flavor, easy peeling, and nearly seedless fruit. There is a new variety of Hamlin Orange that seems to be resistant to citrus greening. It is sweeter and it is delicious, and it's a new variety of Hamlin Orange. Number four, finger limes. The University of Florida Sun Lime is a hybrid finger lime with a unique, delicious citrus caviar. These are little vesicles that grow to about 3 inches in length and produce a rich red color when mature. They deliver a burst of tangy, slightly tart citrus flavor, often described as a blend of lime, grapefruit, and mandarin orange, with unique floral undertones. And then Meyer's Lemon is number one. Meyer's Lemon has a beautiful purple and white flower. Delicious. You can make lemonade out of it. It is just wonderful, and it is resistant too, as well. Or I should say tolerant. Meyer's Lemon is tolerant. It can get it, but it still produces wonderful fruit and will live a long time.
I need to get me some lemon trees.
Yes, Meyer's Lemon is great.
Yes.
And then the new one is Finger Limes and the new Hamlin. So I'm very, very, very excited about that. And I'm going to try and grow Finger Limes.
Oh, snap. Yes. Okay. Yes. All right. Go.
So we heard from a lot. We heard from Peterson's Nursery. Hi, Howie. It's nice to hear from you. It's nighttime blooming jasmine, he says. But Mark is smelling at night. It could be the devil's lettuce. I don't know who said that. Who said that? Not Eric.
Probably Eric.
Okay, not laughing out loud. Okay, there you go. So Peterson's Nursery also has, in Polk County at Lakeland, also has poinsettias and Christmas cactus blooming. So that is wonderful. Wesley Chapel Vince says when he first moved to Florida, we lived in Apopka. We had the same question, and it was a beautiful fragrance in the evening, and it ended up being citrus blossoms, orange blossoms. And I think right now it is the lemons and the limes that are blooming and that he is hearing. Okay. So thank you so much, Vince, and thank you for listening in Wesley Chapel. 1-888-455-2967, or you can text 23680. What kind of vegetables can you be growing this month? Beets and broccoli, Brussels sprouts and cabbage, carrots and cauliflower, collards and horseradish. Do you like horseradish?
I actually really do. I like it too. Yes.
Yeah, Tony does too. Lettuce and mustard, onions and peas, radicchio, radishes, spinach, Swiss chard, and turnips. All those wonderful stew vegetables for the cold winter weather. That's great. Herbs. So we were talking to Dana about herbs, and he's got all these great herbs. Anise and arugula, basil, bay, chives and cilantro, coriander and dill, fennel and garlic, lavender. Lavender is good to grow right now because of the dryness. Lavender likes it to be very dry. Mint and oregano. Then also parsley, rosemary, sage, sweet marjoram, and thyme. So those are wonderful, wonderful herbs you can grow right now. So this is a great time. We don't have the humidity that we do in the summertime. We don't have the heat. It's a little easier to grow flowers and vegetables and your herbs. So it's a great time. It's also a great time to be planting trees. You can easily just, provide someone with a gift certificate from Quality Green Specialist, and they can go select all of the plants that they would love to grow. So Zoysia Lawns, we're seeing a little bit of brown plants. We're in a drought right now, so if you're seeing brown, the Zoysia probably got snapped with the cold that we had a few weeks ago. It may not recover in time before the next cold, so it will stay brown all winter long. But nothing you need to do for it. It's not dying. It doesn't need to be overwatered. So when plants go dormant, overwatering is not good. Weeds are going to stay with us through the wintertime. You can spot treat them, but you definitely want to make sure that they're growing. So if the temperatures do get a little colder, the 60s, 50s, 40s, then you don't want to put down any kind of fertilizer, and you don't want to put down any kind of herbicide. It's just not going to do well. Let's go to Jimmy in Apopka. Good morning, Jimmy. How can I help you?
Good morning, Teresa. I have some Laura petalums that are about 4 to 5 feet tall, and they're beautiful at the top, thick, they flower, but at the bottom maybe 18 to 24 inches, it's very thin. You can see right through them.
Right.
The same thing with some variegated pittosporum that I have and some golden durantas. They're like getting mature, and I'd really like to cut them back to like maybe 2 to 3 feet. Is that possible? Will I kill it? And if I can, when can I do it?
Okay, so you're not going to kill it. You can cut anything by a third and not kill it, but you want to make sure it's the right time of year. Now, so Laura petalums are not blooming right now, so it would be okay to cut them right now. Your other shrubs you can cut right now too as well, because we're going into a, you know, we have a La Nina winter, so it's not going to get too cold. I wouldn't fertilize it. But here's one of the issues of why they're bare, I call it bare bottom syndrome, Jimmy. And it's because we cut them straight down. So when you are cutting your Allura petalum and your pittosporums and your other shrubs, you want to cut them at a slight angle where the bottom is larger or wider than the top. What that's going to do is it's going to allow the sunlight to hit, and they'll be able to grow out and get thicker.
Yeah, they're definitely not shaped like that for now, for sure. That's definitely part of the problem then. So my concern is that they would start blooming. Like, if I chop them back now, would they start getting new growth? I don't want them to get new growth, and then we do get a freeze. Like,
right, exactly. So here's what you need to decide. You can do it. I don't think it's going to kill it. We're not going to get the cold this year, that, you know, the straight days. We're not going to get very harsh cold temperatures like a polar vortex. I doubt that we're going to see those this year. But if you wanted just to wait until, you know, the end of February, first part of March, you can cut them back then. But you want to do it before it gets into that heat of the springtime, because that's when they do start to put on blooms. And I don't want you to cut off the blooms for next year. So if you do it now, it's going to take about 4 weeks, you know, to 6 weeks for the new growth to come out. And so I think you'll be okay if you cut them now.
Okay, yeah, that was my question. Like, how long are they going to look ugly before they start to fill in?
Yeah, again, so you know? Again, you might not want to do it before Christmas because of the, you know, you're having, you know, guests over, and they're, right, they're going to be cut back short. And if you just want to wait till the end of February and cut them then, that would be good before they start their real spring bloom and blossoms, because they bloom around late April, May. And so if you cut them in February, it's going to be before they start to produce those blooms.
Okay, and that would be the same for the pittosporum and the golden durantas, the same?
Golden durantas, yeah, I'm fine, because they bloom kind of sporadically in the they bloom profusely in the springtime and then sporadically throughout the year. Pittosporums don't have a flower, so you know, you can cut those anytime.
All right, thank you, Teresa. Thank you so much.
You're welcome, Jimmy. Let me know how they do. Okay, so you know, it's just, you want to do your major pruning and major fertilizing 3 months before a critical period. Now, what's a critical period? A critical period is when we experience extreme temperatures and temperature drops. Like when we go into the heat of the summer in June and July, you want to cut, you know, first part of March, February, March, April. That gives it 3 months to grow out and handle the stress of being cut before an extreme period. The same with fertilizing. You want to fertilize 3 months before an extreme period. In the wintertime, that 3 months is usually January. We get our coldest temperatures in January. Now, this is a little late in the year, but if they've been in the ground of, you know, 5-10 years and they're 10 feet tall, if you cut them down by 2 to 3 feet, it's not going to be that damaging. If it's Saturday afternoon or Saturday morning, listen to me, I've got to drink more tea. If it's Saturday morning, you're listening to Better Lawns and Gardens from the Summit Responsible Solutions Studios. I'm Teresa Watkins, and this is Florida's Talk and Entertainment Network.
Don't worry, because if you miss any of the show today or you want to go back and listen to past shows, you can go to our website, betterlawns.com. That's betterlawns.com.